Okay, let me do a quick pass over the agenda. I do have something to add. Marcus mentioned adding DID auth to work items, but we have to go through some kind of rigmarole for that. So I wanted to just review that. Okay, agenda. We're going to do introductions, reintroductions, announcements, progress on current action items, status of work items, and then the main highlight is the rebooting Web of Trust report out. And again, I think I'll add the DID auth question to the work items. Okay, for introductions and reintroductions, let's see. Who was it that spoke up earlier? I was hoping that you could introduce yourself. Is it AC Hughes?
I can introduce myself again. Hi, it's Andrew Hughes. Good to meet many of you at the Rebooting Web of Trust last week. So this is great to meet you. Met in person there. Did a bunch of stuff with, did auth with Marcus and the crew there, and I do a lot of volunteering with Cantera Initiative. So I'm looking at if there's any crossover. Cantera has a lot of work with, or Cantera is interested in federated identity, identity assurance, and also things like identity relationship management, all of which are very complementary topics to the work here and also resistance.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks for joining us. I was curious, did his connection sound choppy to anyone else?
Yes, it did, but I was able to understand it.
Okay, Andrew, are you connected over, how are you dialing in? Is it voice over IP?
Yes, I'm using OnSIP. You guys sound great to
okay.
me. So it's
oh, excellent. Okay. That's good. Yeah, we're still finding our best connection approaches, so thank you. Okay, next, let's do announcements. One thing I left on the announcements, even though it's in the past, is the DID, post-DID reconciliation implementer stand-up. Did anyone have anything they wanted to report about that, and then we can remove it from the announcements.
Sorry, Kim. Would was that a did spec thing, or I thought you said did auth? Maybe I misheard.
Oh, sorry, it's the post did reconciliation.
Yeah. So I can give a quick update on that. Okay. So based on all the discussions that we had around the did spec. Last week, we have proposed resolutions for almost every issue. There are a few issues that came in at the end of the week last week that we're going to have to go through another kind of discussion cycle. But PRs are starting to flow in. We have like 9 open PRs on the spec, which is great. And hopefully, you know, more will come in over time. I think we have about 15, it may be around 27 PRs in waiting total. Only about 9 of them are done. We have many more to write up. But all things said, we believe that all of the major implementer issues have been addressed in the spec now. Like I said, there were a couple of people that raised a couple of issues last week, and we're dealing with those. But we're getting no significant pushback from any of the implementers right now on the DID spec. And we know that at least the portions of it that are well-worn are implementable. At least per the Veris One implementation, we're implementing per the spec, and that seems to be going well. So I think, you know, anything labeled did hardening, did reconciliation, anything that's in a Google Doc is now either being pulled into the spec or we'll have PRs shortly created to pull that stuff into the spec.
Thanks, Manu. Joe, I see you on the queue, and let me just finish the announcements, and then we'll do it right after announcements.
Perfect. Perfect.
Okay, so for the other announcements.
Well, I just wanted to be clear, are they still meeting again? So I'm trying to remove things off of the action items. Are you guys still meeting as a separate group?
I have not heard any mention of a follow-up meeting. So I don't think so, but Drummond may have to weigh in and say differently.
Okay, I'll inquire. Basically, part of our goal is to take this item off if you guys are not meeting separately. Thank you.
Okay, I included the link for the IIW number 26 meeting, April 3rd through 5th, and I included the link for the Eventbrite tickets. Right after IIW, there will be a verifiable claims face-to-face. I don't know if we have details on it. We still have details TBA. Okay, let's move to current action items and start with Joe, who was going to talk about, about Marcus's query earlier.
Yeah, so some of this is process related, also to the DIDOF as a new action item. So as requested, Marcus kindly put together a formal proposal for a work item, being notably that we could do something at MyData 2018, perhaps presenting DIDs in the interoperability track. And so we should entertain that work item and see if there's enough support to actually do that as part of the group.
Okay, is there any follow-up we need at the moment? Do we need to initiate the proposal process?
So this is the start of the proposal process. So Marcus wrote something up. Marcus, I don't know if you're on the call.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, great. So what support would you need to present DIDs in the interoperability track? Is that something you could present, or would you want someone else to do it? How could we support you in that?
So I could definitely present it myself, but one idea would be to have maybe a panel and have a number of implementers talk about that and present what they're doing. Could be people representing different DID methods or people otherwise implementing DIDs, resolvers, registration, whatever. I just think DIDs are a very rare example where interoperability seems to work in this space. And this is something that the MyData community and conference is looking for. There's like you said, an interoperability track. I'm one of the track hosts, and we're trying to put together sessions in that track. And that would be one of the ideas. If we had enough people representing different DID methods, different DID code bases, we could have a panel and see what are the differences, what are the experiences, what is everyone doing there. So to work on this proposal would be as simple as figuring out who would be willing to come, essentially. That's what it comes down to.
Right. And so for us in the community group evaluating this work item, the question is just, do we want to help Marcus pull together this panel? Is that correct?
Yeah. What was the other question? I don't know what's the state of that, but maybe doing some rebooting Web of Trust event at MyData. I don't know if that's still being considered, and maybe if that were to happen, then it might be easier to also get people to come to my data. But it's independent, right? People can come to the conference anyway.
Right. So let me note that as one of the Reputing Web of Trust guys, we definitely would like to do something, so we should talk about that offline. But since that would be Rebooting Web of Trust and not the community group, we shouldn't spend too much time on it here. So with regard to this work item, I'd like to put forward, and I'm suggesting this to you, Kim, as chair, so you can decide to put it on the docket, but I think we should put this up for whatever the do we have enough support to make this happen? I guess that's the question.
Right. So basically the vote call. Do we need a wait time on that? Is that something where we need to send it out to the list and have time for for feedback, et cetera? Or do we just...
I do not think that. And I'm...
Okay.
Chris or Kim, if you guys disagree, you know, this is still in flux. But basically, so there was a proposal. It fits the mission of the group clearly. And our only question is there enough support to adopt this as a work item? Because we have a very broad notion of anyone who's working within the community to our mission can create a work item. So I think it's a lighter test than do we adopt it as a final work product.
I see. Okay, so... I'm seeing some activity. I don't see any volunteers, but that doesn't mean anything. Marcus, would you mind sending an email to the group? And I guess we could we can gauge reaction there and follow up next week. And basically what we're looking for is people to, you know, sign up to support it.
Right. Yes,
and to help find the folks who can be on the panel, not necessarily just to be on the panel.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you, Marcus. Let's see. So I think we're actually at action items now, and I have a few ones called out. Does anyone have any status they'd like to volunteer about their action items? Actually, Christopher, you're on the queue, but I don't know if that's from earlier.
That's from earlier.
Okay. I did have
Joe,
something
like
at the top. Oh, go ahead.
Joe, I just want to speak to the Spectex training that has Manu's name on it. Which, Manu, I know, you know, we've all been traveling, and we may not be able to get to this before IAW because I don't know what the rest of this month's travel is. But the co-chairs, we don't know how to manage the Spectex stuff. So there's stuff we need to put up there or manage up there, and we need some sort of boot camp training session.
Happy to do it.
How we get started.
Happy to do that, and happy to have anybody else that wants to learn how to add spec text, modify spec text, do PRs. Happy to hold a call to do that, to go through that.
Do you think that's something you might be able to do this next week? If we can round the corner
again
off the
in
line.
3 days, and I continue to travel pretty much solid until IAW. So...
Okay.
I will need to find, maybe this Friday I might be able to do something. So let's take that offline and try to set up a call and then send an invite out to anyone that can join.
That sounds great. Thank you, Manu.
Any other status to report? Oh, David Chadwick, I see you on the queue.
It relates to this item. Over the Christmas vacation period, Manu spent quite a long time with me going through how to do pull requests and exchanges, and I wrote it up as a Word document. So I've already got a set of written instructions, which I'm quite happy for everyone to read. And I think we should then be able to do pull requests, etc., without any further training. If not, then out there that document can be self-explanatory and to allow people to, you know, read it and then be able to do the question and change the set.
Excellent. Thank you, David. Could you forward that to the group, please?
Yes, I'll do that. It's a Word document at the moment. I mean, I don't know whether we want to make it a Google Doc and then allow people to edit it or not, but if you want to send it out, I guess.
Yeah, I mean,
this chopping could be due to my microphone or it could be due to the plastic that I'm using.
Yeah, I think we're getting support on the Google Doc. If you need help with that, just send the Word document to me and I can take care of it and forward it to everyone.
Yeah. Okay. I'll certainly do the last work after the meeting.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Are you on voice over IP or I'm trying to diagnose this. Are you on voice over IP or are you on a call in?
I'm on voice over IP with OnSIP. I'm connected to the OnSIP website.
Okay.
So I'm not running the IP client. On my laptop, I'm running the web browser.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, let's move on to status of work items. Let's see, this is the one where we picked two in advance, and I'm not sure if I found the second one. For educational and occupational verifiable credentials, we had a mini sync up at rebooting with Nate, myself, and a few other interested parties. So we've worked on the first step, our first major goal for that task force, which is the alignment of, we haven't found the right term yet, but the alignment in quotes of verifiable credentials and open badges. And so we have a paper that I think we're wrapped up on with that. We're going to follow up with some implementations. And lastly, we've broken out into a separate paper, sort of peer claims question. This is something that we all mentioned at last rebooting that we want to see basically more examples of verifiable credentials, you know, coming from the education space specifically. So we're doing some work on that. So that will be a separate paper coming a little bit later. We will kick off the sort of ongoing, you know, sort of task force group meetings shortly. And there'll be more details about that. Let me see if anyone's on the queue. Okay, let me pick another item for.
Why don't we save that? Because it may come out in the rebooting anyhow.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah,
let's move to the rebooting report out. And how should we start that? I guess. Christopher, do you want to start with just a summary, and then we'll ask for volunteers to give individual, reports about the topic they were working on? Does that sound fair?
Yeah. So last week, for 3 days, we met in Santa Barbara, and Joe Andrew hosted and facilitated and did a great job. I put a URL in the chat room of the sort of drafts that were collaborated on there with abstracts. We had sort of two categories, primary papers where people spent the most time, but then as a new experiment, we did this, what we called mandatory minor papers, where a variety of sort of oddball topics were brought up, and that may result in some additional papers. In summary, there were 13 that made to some level of completion, and the drafts are there. Various people will be meeting over the next few weeks and months, hopefully not too many months, to try to get to a final draft of these. a number are absolutely you know, candidates for potential work items. You know, not everything necessarily will be coming to the credentials group, but we felt like the credentials group may be interested in what's going on. That's my intro. Anybody, where from here?
Thanks, Christopher.
We could walk through the list from the top. I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds good. Sorry. Actually, I can start on some of mine and then move on. For mine, it was, well, so I worked with Nate Otto, you know, on the educational, occupational, verifiable credentials topic that we mentioned. So Nate took the charge on really, you know, sort of getting several options for verifiable credentials and open badge alignment. There were sort of two primary options that we came up with in the proposed data model. We would be curious for feedback on it from verifiable credentials folks. Let's see. The next one was B2CR. And what we're doing there is, so during rebooting, we spent a lot of time basically with minor questions, you know, sort of things that are method spec specific that you know, we're sort of trying to figure out the right assumption or defaults for the BTCR method spec. What we decided to do was turn the rebooting paper into a sort of general intro, but with technical details. And our motivation for that is to use that paper to basically get on the same page with the final, you know, all the remaining decisions. And then that we're just going to pretty much copy paste into our method spec. So yeah, we're hoping to get a 2-for-1 out of that. I also really liked the mandatory minor idea. I worked with quite a few folks here. Christian, I'm not sure who else is on the call that was there, but Ryan Grant, Drummond, and Heather. And so what we did was we were talking about revocation, and it started out as a sort of poorly formed idea, like most mandatory minor papers. But what we were doing was a summary of basically a very light survey of approaches that are tried and ones that may be successful in different contexts. And so that one was sort of surprising and interesting for me. So I think the biggest highlight when we talk about social recovery, I think we always imagine, you know, you ask your brother, your mom to sort of, you know, 3 of 5 people maybe who can vouch for you to recover, you know, help recover your identity. Drummond showed us a word cloud demonstrating, you know, when you start talking to people about recovery of their keys, who would they actually trust? And huge front and center was Google. You know, family members were very small. And so what that indicates to me is more like maybe people are making some sort of convenience trade-off in there as well. You know, so like it may be a lot of effort for me to go actually dig up my mother, and, you know, maybe it's a pain to get them to do that. Whereas if I know that, you know, some institution that I, you know, mostly trust could be available online for me to do that, then that might be better or more convenient. That might be an option. There were cultural differences that came into play. So, you know, we left that paper as sort of an outline, but I am curious to turn that into something a little more complete, like not necessarily into a deep survey of key recovery methods, but I think even the social aspects are fairly interesting. So that was it for me. And I noticed that Manu is on the queue.
So I can. Hi, this is Christian. Let me jump in there a little bit. So I also work on the key recovery topic. And one of the things I want to do is earlier I did a kind of a survey / walkthrough of the Facebook social recovery feature. And so I want to share that with everyone because now it's like in consensus internal document system. But I can add that. So we have a Google Doc for the key management session. I can add that there. And it's basically a walkthrough with screenshots of the whole UX of Facebook's social recovery. So it can be interesting to see how they are doing it there.
Excellent. Thanks for that.
Yeah, thanks.
Manu, you're next on the queue.
Yeah, so a couple of high-level observations. So, you know, this last rebooting was great as well. I think the community is starting to really learn how to work together and crank good content out. It did raise a question in my mind about how we transitioned work from rebooting to the CCG. So I think one really interesting thing was there was a lot of you know, at the previous rebootings, the DID spec was like front and center and we had a ton of people on it. On this one, it transitioned, right? So we had a lot of community support, meaning people wanted us to get the thing done, but they weren't a lot of people. It was just like Drummond and I processing issues, which is fine. I mean, I think that's, we're starting to kind of see where the edges of rebooting are, right? So creating new ideas, discussing them, formalizing them in some way, kicking out a document, maybe refining the document a bit. But clearly, you know, per this last rebooting, the DID spec is no longer kind of a something that's going to be worked on in that community, right? So it's something that needs to be picked up, and I think that's this group's job is to pick up those specs and refine them and get implementer feedback. But I would argue that once we process many of the remaining issues in the spec and you know, make a couple more editorial passes over the next month or two, that spec will be ready to move on from this group as well. And that's the thing that I'm a bit concerned about, right? So we as the group that's transitioning that spec to the next stage, which I'm guessing is going to be, it's the standardization group of some kind, more than likely W3C, we need to do still a fairly significant amount of prep work to transition it to a W3C working group. So that means a use cases document around the DID spec, a general proposal, a charter for the DID spec working group. And those are items that I haven't really heard anyone talking about, right? I mean, those are things that we're going to need. If we don't have those things, the DID spec's just going to stop right here, and it's not going to transition. So I think the thing, at least for me, that was most interesting is the process of how we get things through. Because if we were to just stop right now, we would have a whole bunch of really interesting ideas being percolated and created at rebooting. We'd have some experimental refinement here, and then nothing would happen, right? They wouldn't actually go to the next stage. So I think over the next, you know, 2 or 3 months, I'd like the CCG to really understand and prepare for moving this work onto the W3C standards track. And a good chunk of that is going to be recruiting the right companies to participate in the working group. So anyway, I'm just raising that up primarily for the chairs, but also for the rest of the community, where we really need to spend some time working that particular process problem, because if we don't, the work's going to stall at the next stage.
Yeah, that sounds like a good action item for the chairs. So I'll just have something to sort of jog our memories. The chairs ensuring work items are sticky and have support, I guess, and we'll follow up. We'll probably, you know, need to bounce some ideas off of you, Manu, but just to make sure we're tracking this. Joe is next on the queue.
Yeah. Two things. I think we also need to get the DID auth as a proposed work item, which I guess my question, this may be reflect back to you, Manu, is we probably still need to do DID, should do DID auth within the community group, and that probably, I mean, would that go over to the DID working group? I guess that's still
not key. Anytime soon, and we're playing with fire there, right? So we need to really be sure. Here's the worst thing that we could do. We could propose a DID auth working group to W3C, and the browser vendors could get very excited about it and take over. That is absolutely not what we want to have happen, because if that happens, DID auth is going to be purely through the browser, and it's going to be purely with browser manufacturer wallets. So there's you know, there be dragons there, and we should be very methodical about how we do that. The other, I guess, point on that is that we do have a one DID auth spec right now, which is the credential handler API, and the DID auth group, and I talked about that a bit. And I think the general approach is to try and standardize the messages that go back and forth, but we're too far away from that to propose any kind of working group, right? I mean, we're like at the, I really hesitate to propose that as dual things that go into the W3C.
Okay, that's great, and I think that makes a clear delineation that the DID spec, we are working to transfer into a working group, and there are certain things we can do to support that, such as use cases, et cetera. Separately, DID auth, we should get on the work item queue for consideration by the community group as a separate effort.
Yeah, and we need to understand the difference between DID auth and the credential handler API and HTTP signatures. Like DID auth, I think we're hand-waving too much, and that DID auth actually is talking about potentially authentication messages rather than the protocols that they run over, like Bluetooth or through the browser or through HTTP.
Right. Okay, so let me yield my time. I think Marcus is put himself on the queue to address some of that.
Actually, Christopher was next.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I had some specific questions that maybe Manu is the best to answer or whatever, but the first one is in regards to the kinds of things that we would need to do for the working group. Besides the actual spec, what is the of those is the most time? Do you think will have the most time? And then my second question for you is sort of related to things like method specs, like, you know, what method specs should go into the working group? What method specs, you know, would the you know, the hypothetical DID working group want to take on, or would we write how to write a method spec, and that would be the only one that would move to the working group. That's it.
I'll put myself in the queue
later. Okay, thank you. Dave Longley's on the queue.
Sure. My comment was regarding DID auth and protocols and things related to it, which is sort of feeds off of what Manu was saying with browser vendors. I think the most important thing that we can do is get implementations out there based on the specs and work items we are bringing together in the community group. We really need to get those out there and get implementers working together and get some interop and some code that's functional. And we need to have that in place before we take that to working group at W3C.
Marcus, you're next. Marcus?
Yeah, about DDoS, I would also be interested to see it added as a work item. I can quickly report from the work with last week of rebooting Web of Trust. It was a group of, I think, 7 people working on DDoS. We began with a lot of discussion about scope. So what exactly is included, right? Is it just a browser based login to a website using something like the credential handler API? Is it scanning a QR code with a mobile device and answering a challenge with a response, kind of like UPort is doing? Does it include service to service protected secure channels like with HTTP signatures or did TLS? So there are a lot of flows and protocols and different scenarios that you could call DDoS. So that one challenge I think is to define the scope, what it is. And then we had some discussion about the formats. Mm-hmm. What is the challenge format? What is the response format? There are also different options right now, it seems, but the way Manu said it, I think makes sense that you define maybe the formats, the message format, independently from transports or bindings or how exactly you implement it to make it clear it's not just browser based, right? It's more than that.
Yeah, let me jump in there. That's also how we're approaching it at UPort. So what we've been doing now is we've defined some formats of the messages, and then we have several ways to get those to the user. So it's QR code or push notification or clickable link, for instance. But the main messages are the same.
And one more thing, so besides that rebooting the trust paper that hopefully we will be working on in the next few weeks and hopefully not too many months. Besides that, I also have the opportunity with the British Columbia guys, right? The workbook and what they're doing, and I'm implementing some DDoS like scenarios right now, and I'm supposed to have that finished by the end of the month. Perhaps if there's time, perhaps next week I could present some of what I've done so far and ask for feedback from the group.
Excellent. I'd be definitely interested in that. I had someone in the queue. Manu.
Yeah, this is to respond to Christopher's two questions that Christopher raised. The first question was, what is needed for the DID working group? So what do we need to produce here for the DID working group to be formed? Or really, what's going to take the most amount of time? Use cases, I think, may take a significant amount of time unless we have, you know, someone excellent like Joe working on them. Again, I don't think it's fair to ask Joe to do all of that heavy lifting. So
it still takes time.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it could take. We've seen use case documents take like a year and a half to do. I think we should really focus down and pick three to four very important use cases. Just hold it at that and have a use cases document. The other thing that's required is a charter. Charters are easier, especially some of the newer charters at W3C. They want you to be very, very focused. Like, you are creating a working group to do one specification, and that's it. So verifiable credentials is an example of this, at least what's happening. Like, we have the use cases document and the verifiable credentials data model spec, and that's it. That's the only two things that the working group is probably going to output. The DID working group is probably going to have to generate something similar. So use cases, if someone could do use cases for DIDs, that would be super helpful. Mm-hmm. some of the rest of us know how to put together a charter within a couple of weeks, so that would be good. And then the core spec. The other thing that would be really important for us to have before we start the working group is to have an operational test suite. So, you know, it doesn't have to be something fancy and extensive, but it does have to be something where we at least have two implementers that step up, like BTCR or VerisOne or Sovereign, that show that they can at least pass like one or two of the tests in the test suite. The other thing that takes a significant amount of time, it takes from a calendar perspective, it takes a long time. From an effort perspective, it's not super critical, it's not super involved, and that's drumming up support, making sure that we get, for example, you know, IBM and Microsoft joining the DID working group, making sure that we get some other fairly large players that are going to vote in support. We have to have all that support lined up, and we have to start doing that a good like 6 months before we propose a DID working group. So we are hoping to present at this year's TPAC. So we'll do decentralized identifiers at this year's TPAC, which means we are 6 months out, which means we should already be starting on a lot of this work. If we miss TPAC, it's going to be much harder for us to get momentum around it. So I think we have 6 months to put this stuff together, and that goes really, really fast. So if we had to, you know, put down a number of things that we need to do, we need to do use cases in parallel with the charter. Once we have a first rough cut of those, hopefully in 2 months, we would start hitting every company that we know that would benefit from the technology and tell them to either join W3C or ask them to vote or just give them a heads up and say, here's the charter, here are the use cases, here's the spec. And then a test suite. We can probably start summer to end of summer sometime. We don't have a lot of time to get all this stuff together, which is why it's making me very nervous that we don't have folks assigned to each one of these tasks. The second question was, do method specs go into the DID working group? I'd suggest that we don't do that. The reason being, we could have a, you know, here's what we expect for the method specs, but any spec that you say you're going to standardize needs a test suite, needs interoperable implementations. So we would need to have two implementers of the Sovereign Ledger or two implementers of the BTCR protocol, or, you know, two separate, totally different companies implementing the UPort protocol. And that's just, you know, that would be a very difficult thing to get done in the next 6 months. So I suggest that we just go in with the DID spec as is, make it like very focused, you know, short and sweet, and just do that and say that the DID specs are outside and refer to them non-normatively.
Okay, thanks, Manu. I made a bunch, I added a bunch of action items, and yeah, I don't expect we'll do it right here, but we should be able to identify owners. Chairs will follow up to, you know, see what other, I'm not sure what's involved in drumming up company support, so we'll be chatting about all that kind of stuff. It sounds like we need to get started right away on all of these.
Yep.
Let me check real fast if we have anyone on the queue. Okay, we have Marcus.
I have just one question. I added a DID method to the DID method registry document, and was an accident. I committed directly to the document rather than doing a pull request. The ERC-725 Ethereum-based DID method, which I worked on with two other authors. I was just curious if this is a procedural problem, but I just added that to the document.
Joe is next.
I want to make this comment earlier, and this is in part feedback for Manu about the relative excitement about DID. I think before we did the the paper process, selection process, a lot of people thought we would have another Didlandia. But we tweaked that a little bit, and I think the way that we tweaked it led to more smaller groups. I think we had a lot of two-people papers. So I just want to know, I don't think what came out of that restructuring was indicative of community support for the DID spec as much as a shift in the process there.
Christopher? Christopher, are you muted?
Yeah. I'm not quite sure how to plan this or whatever, but I feel like the community may want, we need to be careful with IIW that, you know, we don't go in and with, you know, pre-planned events and things of that nature, but we may want to go into IIW with some pre-planned messages, including things like DID use cases or, you know, the various other things. Because the part of the point of doing rebooting so early was to give us time between rebooting and IIW and other events where we can influence them. So we should be thinking about how to take these documents, those that are appropriate for the CCG to work on, and how do we, you know, leverage that momentum to sort of drive other conferences that are talking about these things in the fall. That's it.
Manu, you're next.
Yeah, so two things. With Marcus's question, there are no IPR concerns with directly adding a DID method to the registry, and I don't think we have a very I won't speak to the community process, but from an IPR perspective, I don't think we really care all that much. And what the registry is trying to do is track as many of the DID method specs that exist out there, and if there is a document, then it's nice to have a reference to that document. But I won't make any mention of the CG process. That's up to the chairs. The other response was something that Joe said, where, you know, it's, you know, we shouldn't read too much into kind of what happened at rebooting. I didn't intend to insinuate anything. I think what happened was natural. What happened is we've seen this happen many times before in, you know, RDFA and JSON-LD and the web payment stuff and verifiable credentials to some degree, where a community that, you know, doesn't really know what the process is, like they come in, they talk about something, and they're like, we solved the problem, and then they go somewhere else, right? They're on to the next shiny thing. And what happens at that point is, you know, that's the most dangerous point for a new idea to not be pushed forward in a standard setting organization. So this is the point at which doing the DID spec, while it may seem like we've had like all of the really hard stuff done, this is the point at which it actually starts getting hard. Right. Everything leading up to this point has been fairly easy because we haven't had to really deal with, you know, politics in the just absolute grind of just working on a spec and like and having to like explain it for the 50th time to someone new from a large company coming in that's like throwing grenades. But like that's like the stage that we're getting ready to move in. And I think this is natural, Joe, it has nothing to do with rebooting, because everyone kind of scattered and was like, we'll let the editors deal with the rest. Or, you know, there are other people in this community that are going to you know, pick up the baton and run with it. That leaves us like super it doesn't leave us with a lot of resources, for lack of a better term, to kind of push the spec forward. So I'm just kind of, you know, waving the flag saying, like, we're not done yet. We still need everyone's, you know, help, and especially in the transition to a standards group. And then once it's in a standards group, we still need a ton of help from organizations that are depending on this stuff to push it through the standardization group. hopefully that clarified some of the stuff.
So we're under 10 minutes. I wanted to see, make sure everyone saw this index of rebooting documents. You know, if you're curious to read through the papers that were written, abstracts, et cetera, please check this out. If anyone is around on, let's see, Nathan, I don't think he's here. I was curious to hear a quick report out on attribute-based credentials. He's not here. Another very interesting area was making DIDs invisible, pet names, but I think Christopher Weber isn't here. If you have anything you want to present out on these papers, or if you have a question you want to ask about any of these, just add yourself to the queue. Christopher. Christopher, are you muted?
He just got disconnected.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
The talented ear, Chris.
Okay. Well,
it's prehensile.
Okay, we have Moses on the queue.
Hi. Dan and I are going to work on the roadmap group, so we'll prepare some notes and show them next week.
Great. Do you want to give a quick summary of what your topic was?
Yeah, our topic was creating a roadmap for adoption and doing the things that I guess the shorthand for this is IBM needs for this group to do certain things for him to be able to get resources and approval to move forward. He totally supports the concept. So what we're going to do is deliver those. They're not that difficult. It's like we have to publish a schedule, have some go-to-market materials, and then express the and then he'll sell it internally. But I think we'll have more prepared next week, and we have the beginning of a team set up. If anybody wants to volunteer for the go-to-market team, let me know.
What is it that IBM needs?
He needs a product roadmap. This is something that they need internally, and it's basically just what is the schedule of things getting done and when they might get done expressed in a page. They also need some materials. I think what's happening is that when people go to the site, they're not seeing what a commercial company would offer in terms of an API. They're seeing scattered documentation and tools so that it isn't – I think all we have to do is reorganize things a bit. Again, what we can do is explain exactly what's needed. You could look at the paper that we uploaded that actually has a list of deliverables that we need to work on and provide, which would be good for deploying the standard and getting larger companies to support us.
Yeah, that came up several times in terms of, you know, why other groups can get company sponsorship versus rebooting. So I think that would be useful, like you said, minimum cleanup of documentation, explaining what we do, but ideally more. Everyone check out his roadmap doc, see if you can help. And we have Chris Weber on the queue.
Hi. Hopefully I don't hang up by myself again. I just wanted to say that, we were lucky to have Mark Miller again this year, and we made a lot of – one of the big concerns I had coming into this rebooting was about how people will actually be able to use the fact that we've decided – decentralized and global unique, which means non-human readable identifiers. And the pet name stuff, I think we got a pretty good sense of how to be able to map those to human readable names and how to build interfaces where people do that safely. We're running on low on time, so I won't say anything else, but I'm still getting the paper together, and we're pretty close.
Thanks, Christopher. And we will close with Joe Andrew.
Sure. I just wanted to make some notes about the need for us to be clear in our separation between what's Rebooting Web of Trust and what's W3C, and even further, what's the community group versus what's the working group, because there are sort of different process requirements and consensus drivers and IP regimes and all sorts of things. We, as chairs, haven't been very clear about that. There's a good pipeline here where we talk about it, Rebooting Web of Trust, and we feed it into the community group, and that hopefully will feed into other working groups. So I just want to put a note in the sand that, for example, some of what you're doing, Moses, figuring out how that is, it's definitely Rebooting Web of Trust work, and we might be able to feed it into the CCG, but I don't want to mix those two together too early in the process. That's all. I know we're running out of time here.
Yeah, thanks. I realized I wasn't clear on that, and I felt bad immediately after, if that helps. So we'll try to be clear in the future. Thanks, everyone, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks, all. Bye.
Cool. Bye.
Thanks.